Hey, welcome to the Spread Podcast. I am Hugh Reyes. Some people know me as Furman, but I'm here with someone that is amazing. This person, he could take your business and put it in the streets. And I'm explaining how that works. So I'm here with Dio Palencia. Dio, how's it going?
Very good, Furman. How's everything?
Everything's great, man. And you know, this podcast came about because I called you for some advice, which I do from time to time. And I'm like, hey, I have this client that wants to do this, and that. And I wanted to know, you know, what your take was on the climate of community marketing, grassroots marketing. And, you know, if it was something that it was still doable. And I was so surprised to hear everything you were telling about how much opportunities there, if they're willing to wait and so on. But let's start off with defining what this kind of niche marketing is, which is not, it goes hand in hand with digital and all of that, but this is very event, it's in the customer's client's face, right? So can you define a little bit, what's the difference between like digital marketing, grassroots marketing, all these other terms, community marketing, event marketing, like, what is it? And is there one thing, or are there little niches within that niche?
Well, the term grassroots marketing really, it's a complement of everything. It's you're doing a little bit of guerrilla marketing, you're doing door-to-door, you're doing outreach, even in the digital format too as well. But it is really tailor to where your locations are. Like if you have 11 locations, you're marketing exactly where the people live around your neighborhoods, instead of going into a more broader reach. So the marketing is really focused in short distance, you know, and you saturate the market with your image, your brand, and the products. That way people can come to your clinic, and you're constantly reminding them that you're there. So that's what I will say, what really grassroots marketing is.
Grassroots, but it's a physical marketing, right? So you're handing out actual flyers, papers, you're talking to potential customers or patients or whatever, face-to-face, right? So that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you do this in different formats. One will be at health fairs, resource fairs, festivals, any type of event that people come out and you have the opportunity to talk to them. The other one, too, is doing presentations. You go to, for example, if you're promoting clinics or pediatric services, you go to Head Start. You present to a group of parents, PTA, any type of group. If you're promoting adult services, you go to a student union at a university college, promote your services, present it in front of students. If you put an info table outside of a library where there's a high traffic at a mall, you put an info table there. Or you pay a little bit of rent. Some malls they might charge you to do that. So you do that. So anything that you have in contact with the people, the more they see you in the community, the more they see the brand, you saturate them in their mind, and they get very familiar with the brand. So when the next time they're thinking about the services that you provide, you're going to be the first option. And the reality is that no one is doing that a lot right now, because they think it's a work. You know, you have to be there in the field. And people have been very comfortable doing digital marketing. The reality is that everyone is doing it. So people are super saturated to the point that they choose what they're going to choose, what they're going to see it. Or a lot of the stuff you send is going to be sent to either spam or sort it out. Or sometimes they don't even get it. So the best thing you can do is definitely do a combination of grassroots marketing with digital platform, because it complements everything. There's certain people that you're going to find and market better in digital platforms and social media. And there's definitely people that you're going to be marketing better when you do the grassroots marketing and it's person to person.
Wow, that's, you just said something so huge with the fact that people are not, well, companies are not doing it because it's work. It's not just you splitting some text online and hopefully people see it. You have to be at the events. You have to network. You have to create relationships. You have to print materials. You have to be out in the sun. So, you know, what I'm taking from that, what you're saying is that there's an opportunity in that field for people that are willing to do the work to really stand out, right?
Yes, yes. And one of the good things about grassroots marketing too is that you can do it if you choose traditional dates, like if you do Dia de las Madres or Cinco de Mayo, Thanksgiving, the holidays, when you do events around those events where people come out and celebrate, there's your target audience. And the other thing to take in consideration, grassroots marketing, you don't have traditional hours. It's not a job that is 8 to 5 because people are working. So you have to work after 5 on the weekends. That's when your market is, and that's where your clients are coming out, and that's when you have the opportunity. The other good thing too is markets, like food markets where people go buy their food, especially Latino markets. They're packed on the weekend. It's a really good niche to go ahead there, have an info table. And I can say the same thing for other communities, for the Asian American community, for the Hindu American community. It's the same concept. That's when you get them, and it's a good spot to be marketing and promoting products and services. The other thing too is, on the long run, it is not as costly. You know, once it's well planned and it's well marketed, and you start seeing the clients, you know, it's just you create more loyalty when the people see you in person and tangible. And there's so many examples. You know, one of the things that always strikes me about grassroots marketing is, like, when I go visit family in Mexico, the most successful, for example, cell phone plans are the ones that are promoting with guys on the street doing grassroots marketing with signs, you know, get this plan, this data. And normally plans, companies that do heavily promote on TV, yeah, they get some results, but it's amazing that these guys are doing grassroots marketing, get almost the same results, and sometimes in some markets even more. So there's a power and there's a benefit to it, but it needs to be well done, and it requires hard work. So it's not, you know, you have to, you're willing to put the work.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great information. And if companies or brands or people with products are listening to this, I think it's a lost art. I think also there's probably companies doing this kind of community marketing, but the competition is a lot lower than, for example, everybody now is a social media expert. Everyone, like every person that has a Facebook now is a social media expert. Everybody's selling those services. Everybody's selling Google ads. Everybody is doing the easy work if we were to compare it. And with this, there's the few companies that are out there, they're in demand because there's not a lot of them. And that not a lot of them can actually set this up in the right way to be at the places and to have the relationship with the, for example, the market, the supermarket, to be able to speak to someone and let you put a little booth there or start some kind of partnership. So how do you go about starting those partnerships to set up a booth somewhere, or, you know, how do you know if you need a permit, or does it matter, or how does that work?
Well, it's going to depend if you are a nonprofit or profit, or you're partnering with a nonprofit, because that's going to determine if there's a charge or there's no charge. Like if it's a community event, health fair, most likely there's no charge. And those ones are really large events, and it's something that you just need to boot, register, and have staff there to promote your services. And then there's festivals where obviously there's going to be a charge. And that is going to determine, my suggestion when in those cases is determine the budget that you have. If you have $10,000 budget, just be strategical. You know, which large events are going to help me promote without paying any money, and which ones make sense for me to pay. Just because you go to an event like Cinco de Mayo, 4th of July, or Turkey Trot, and you spend $2,000, that doesn't mean that there's going to be new services. You're better off if you go for, like, for example, Cárdenas or La Regional or Ranch 99, and they let you put an info table free. Or if you pay a little bit, you're going to get more clients. You're going to be able to talk to more. You're going to be able to get some nates to make appointments, whatever the case is or the services that you're providing, then going to a mass event where people, the goal is to have fun, have a little bit of drinks, dance, hear music. So it's very knowing your market and being involved. And what is going to help you with that is that if you are involved in the community and local collaborates, you know, there's like Financial Health Week, there's a Safety Net Collaborate. There's so many of them. And those ones give you an idea of which events are going to be free, which events are going to, you're going to be paying. And then that will put you in a better position to determine, you know, plan ahead. When you're fresh and you don't know, the first year you're experimenting, you're seeing, you know, which events works, which ones don't. And after the first year, then you're going to determine, you know, this makes sense. The other thing too is that, if you hire someone that is an expert can guide you, it will pretty much advise you, you know, this is a pros and cons of these events. This would it make sense in the local market. And across the board in the US or is the similarities are very similar. So once you get experience, you will know which markets and you do a little bit of research.
So that's great. And then going into even the smaller spaces, like the ones you mentioned about the Latino grocery store, right, where it's not necessarily an event, but, you know, there's a lot of traffic there. You get permission from the store?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get permission from the store, and a lot of the stores, there's two routes to do it. One, they want to charge you, you know, we'll charge you to have an info table, either outside or inside. Or you can make it attractive to them. Hey, what about, we do like blood pressure screenings. We do oral dental visual exams. We do cholesterol, any type of screening, or we'll do flu shots. So when you try to complement something that is going to benefit their clients, they're willing to do it for free. And they're barely eager because they're promoting their businesses and they're telling pretty much their clients, look, we're giving back to you guys. So it really depends on how you're going to structure that. And if you're going to structure that, then you need to be well connected. You need to participate in this collaborates, you know, and then you need to work with them, you know, and they can need to get familiar with you. And then they're willing to support you and do mini events. Like this is what I call a mini event, not a large event, but you have like three info tables. You're one to promote your services, one to do some type of screening or flu shots or COVID shots. And the other one is to have a little bit of information or register people for any type of health education workshops.
Okay. So, and then you do those three at the same time, or you pick one of those for that event, mini event?
Well, like I said, it's going to depend. If you want to do it solo, most likely you have to pay, unless the partner already knows you and is familiar with you. Then you will get it for free. The other thing is that if they don't know you, the only way you have to do it is to package it, you know, and involve other clinics, you know, either a public health department, a federal qualified health clinic, or anyone that is willing to support you. And in order to get those partners, you have to be involved in the community. If you go to their collaborate meetings, a lot of people might see it as a waste of time, but you're investing the time because you're supporting them in terms and advising them in the decisions that they make. So when you have an event, they're willing to put their resources and their staff to come and support your events. So it's you give a little bit, but they give you back. So the way I see it is an investment.
Wow. Okay. So it's a lot of work. You know,
yeah, it is.
from the actual work of being there, but also the pre-work of establishing these relationships. You probably are going to have to participate in some of their events if you decide to have partners, right? You're going to have to go to their things and support them or let them be around your whatever you're doing. So it's kind of a everyone trying to help each other as long as there's no conflict there. So that's a lot of work. So can you tell us a little bit about a personal, you know, success story, like something that you say, you know, in all of my years, which actually we haven't talked about your background, but that's on purpose because by the way, if you want to know, you're probably wondering like, who's this guy? Who he knows all this stuff. You're going to have to contact him and he'll tell you all this story because that's his sell. That's his selling point. Obviously an expert on grassroots community marketing and all marketing. So, well, we'll get to that at the end. But so like a success story where you like in the, you know, many years of experience that you went from zero and you took this client, this little brand and now it's just out there. Like, and you don't have to mention names per se, but like a success story and what were the steps you took?
Yeah. Well, there's so many of them. So I can give you a couple. You know, one was a friend of mine called me. He was opening a shop and this is in Mexico, you know. He's trying to sell cell phone plants, right? So I tell him, well, what are you doing? And he's saying, I hire an expert on social media. We're doing all these platforms, but I'm just not generating flow. And I'm in an ideal location and I just have no clients. And I tell him, well, that is great. You know, continue doing that. But are you doing any grassroots marketing? And the first question he told me is, what is grassroots marketing? Like, well, we have to be on the field. I did explain him. So we created a plan for him to be with signs, local guys in the corners on major cross streets where people can see the location. And then we created a plan for them to start going to events. And then there was a few local churches. So we put info tables. So I created a plan for them to have info tables when people were coming out of mass. And there's something called the farmer's market over there called tianguis. In Mexico, they're called tianguis. So we put about that. In 6 months, he starts seeing clients. Now he has 11 locations spread out and he keeps growing. And that's his strategy. He is not investing no longer money on television, radio. He continues to do social media. He's maintaining that. But the main meat of his product is pretty much the grassroots that he does on a daily basis. And he has become very successful. And he has strategized on how to do the marketing. The other one I can tell you is dental clinics. I've helped a lot of organizations grow from one clinic to, there was one organization that grew almost to more than 100 dental clinics. And the moment they stopped doing grassroots marketing, the number of patients went down and then they were closing, you know, clinics to the point that they had to call me back. It's like, can we do that again? You know, so grassroots marketing is really effective. So you have to know the main thing is your product, who consumes your product, your client, and where do your clients live? You know, are your clients people that live at homes of residency? Are your clients our corporate clients? Are their business? Because that makes a difference too. The other one too is also we were doing a for a nonprofit. This is another example. We were trying to implement health workshops in a corporate setting. So meaning that we will give the workshops and then obviously we will get funding to sponsorships. And they were struggling. And the reason is because they were doing just social media, LinkedIn, contacts, emails. And so I'm like, no, you need to go meet the person, make an effort. So we start going to a lot of these events. We asked to have, information and inviting us and we can sample for free. And then they like it and they invite us. And now we have multiple sponsorships, you know, that goes anywhere from 50 to 350,000. And we're seeing organizations that, that have multiple campuses and have multiple staff, and we're hitting a lot of the companies, not only in Silicon Valley here in the Bay Area, but also in parts like, where they have campuses like in Guadalajara. That's, they also have a large Silicon Valley there, and then in Texas. So, and it's just through nonprofits. So I can give you examples of clinics, nonprofits, local businesses. So it's about grassroots marketing, and it takes time. You know, one of the things that I'm really clear when I'm organizing a plan, you're not going to see results unless it takes time. If it's a nonprofit, it's going to take about 6 months. If it's a profit, it's going to take about a year. You have to be patient.
So you have to be willing to go for that long run of a year. That's important.
And once you do that, the reality is that you develop loyalty. If you maintain everything, and you're going to have clients for a long time, long time. The other thing too, I'm working right now with the supermarket, you know, that, the owner was saying, you know, I have 9 locations. You know, one of the concerns is that my clients suffer like diabetes, cholesterol. What can I do? You know, I'm afraid if I use other products, you know, I'm going to lose my clients. And I tell them, well, no, if you do it culturally appropriate and you educate them and you start inviting social services, health services, other nonprofits, teaching them how to use the traditional products that they use to be healthy. And by that, having a healthy client, actually, they're going to live longer, and you're going to have a client. You're going to have a client for many years. Instead of still offering the same products, they're going to be unhealthy. Their span life is going to be less. And he did that. That was about 7 or 8 years ago, and he's really having, because now he has a lot of clients, and he has attract clients that are not Latino because of the products that he offers. So he's now competing with Whole Foods and other things because he's selling very, not only Latino traditional products, but in a very healthy way. So so the key here is knowing your market, knowing your status. If you're either a hybrid between nonprofit and profit, if you're profit, if you're government program. So all of that is going to determine how are you going to do your grassroots marketing, and also knowing if your clients are corporate or they're in a workplace or they're residential. That makes a difference. And how are you going to tailor your marketing, your grassroots marketing?
Makes absolute sense. And then going into a little bit of a budget, right? Because I think that that's the hardest question that everybody has about how much should I spend? How much actually does it cost? Because, I mean, they can ask you, how much does it cost? But it's not a price like you go to Walmart and you see something and like that's $2.99. It's more about, well, what's your, you know, well, I let you tell it, like, what's the cost of a grassroots campaign, or what's the range, or what do you get for certain budgets?
Well, it's going to depend on the size of your of your company and how big you are. One of the things that I recommend when people approach me, it's the first question I ask, and then say, well, it's only me, my wife, and my kids. And then the marketing campaign is going to be done by you guys, because you don't have, you know, money to hire someone. And then you need to put aside anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a year, you know. What, you know, and then we can develop a plan. This is some of the things that you're going to need. This is what you're going to print, either coupons or flyers, whatever it is. So it really depends on the organization. So I couldn't tell you, you know, this is the right budget, because it's going to depend on the organization. So if it's a small organization or company, I will say anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 on a yearly basis. And from that, then we can determine and plan. This is some of the options, some of the things that you can do. if it's, for example, a county that is doing a campaign on COVID immunizations and they're struggling to get people because they're doing everything on social media, then the budget would be bigger. You know, we could say, well, we need to hire people. We need anywhere from, a $250,000 to probably $500,000 or more. But in the long run, when you do the expenses of how much radio and TV you're spending on a monthly basis, you're going to be more productive. And so it really depends what type of program, what type of product, and how big the organization is. And that's the beauty of grassroots marketing. You can always make it fit according to their budget. There's a lot of people think they have to have a crazy budget. No, it's going to depend on your size, what type of market you are, and what makes sense to promote your business, service, program, or whatever you're offering.
Well, and something interesting that you say that, for example, you say, you know, anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 per year. So you're actually letting people know that you can't just do like a month, because that's not going to work. You need that year. So giving them the budget for a year puts it in their minds that this is money you're committing for this year, so you can see results. So that's a great way to look at it. I think for people that are looking for these kind of services, that you have to put that money aside for that year. Maybe you don't have it at the time, but just know that's a commitment that you have to make if you want results. Because also, you don't want to quit 3 months in and now you lost that money that you already put for those 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good. So thank you so much, man. This has been I'm listening and everything makes sense. It's things that we know as common sense, but the way you're putting it is more of a, like, practical, like, okay, you literally have to just do the work. You have to put your head down, do the work. There's no magic pill. There's no, you have to do the work, but the rewards of doing that actual work, the grassroots work, are bigger than social media. If Google tells you, oh, well, 50 people called your business, but you have no appointments. So, you know, here you have a way of people seeing you. Oh, we saw them at this fair. Now they're over here. They're everywhere. Now I'm driving by and I'm seeing the place. And so you kind of start building that brand within the community that matters. Because if you're in LA and someone in Miami is looking at your ad or something, it doesn't matter. So
yeah.
I get deals.
Yeah.
What?
No, and that's what I call saturation. You're saturating your brand in a good way, that you're creating that image and it's sticking to that and their mind, because they're seeing that image every place they go.
Absolutely. And I think that's important as well. I think Coca-Cola, you know, and a lot of the big brands have figured this out years ago, where, for example, in Mexico, I'm sure you know that they give the taco stands Coca-Cola shit. And Coca-Cola signs and everything for free, because they're really just using them as an advertising space.
Yeah, they're the kings of grassroots marketing. I mean, that's the bottom line. They do invest more on grassroots marketing than the social media and traditional media. Yes, they do, you know, pretty much advertising, but the reality is that the budget that they have for grassroots marketing is way much more bigger. And the example that you just gave in Mexico, it's clear. It's not only Coke, it's the beer companies, anyone that wants to sell anything, the soccer teams, that's what they do. They give a lot of free stuff. People see it as free stuff, but they don't realize that they're helping promote that brand and they're doing marketing for them.
You know, it's a great way. I don't see it much implemented here, but it's a really brilliant way to, you know, imagine, you know, the taco stands, you give them, you know, your business's chairs or a canopy, and now they're glad to have that for free, but people are seeing your product there. They're like, oh, that's them. So man, this has been like really, really great. So now the good part. So how do people contact you in your company so they can, you know, they wanted to start something like this, and they're like, you know, maybe even hire you just for advice, just to go, hey, how do they contact you?
Well, they can contact me to either call me or my phone. That's the best way to do it. And one of the things that I like to be really clear when I talk to people is I tell them, I don't want to waste your time and I don't want you to waste my time. You know, this takes a commitment. You're either willing to invest. It is productive. It brings business, but it's a lot of work. And it takes money. And the beauty of this, once it works, it's like a well-oiled machine. As long as you keep putting that oil, it's going to run itself, and it's really easy to maintain. The hard work starts at the beginning. It's kind of like when you're harvesting, you know, you put everything you put on the field work, and then when you harvest, that's the easy part. You're collecting all the fruits from the hard work that you did. So it's the same thing. You know, the hardest thing is to kick off, and once everything is done, it's really easy to maintain. And then, as a matter of fact, your cost starts going down. You can maintain it. And if your plan is to keep expanding, then you need to maintain that budget and increase it. But in order to contact me, you know, they can reach out to my phone, which is 408-307-6071. Or they can reach me via email. My personal email is dospolucas@gmail.com. And that would be the best way, you know, to reach out to me.
Okay, absolutely. So hopefully let him know you saw him here, you heard him here, and I mean it's an amazing thing to have someone like him, like Dio here, to guide you through these things, because you don't want to waste a lot of money. There's a lot of money, even to waste money printing flyers and posters. Now they're just sitting in your office or whatever it is that you want to have a plan from the get-go. You don't want to just start buying things that maybe you don't need or not buying the right things. So this is someone that's going to be able to tell you exactly the things that you need based on the campaign you want. So thank you so much, Leo, for sharing your expertise here with the world. And I'm sure not just companies, but I'm sure even other marketers can watch this and kind of get ideas and see how this is I believe it's going to be a growing after pandemic. I think the pandemic stopped a lot of things and it's never really recovered in the grassroots level. You know, people that know, they went back right to it. But I think there's a lot of space that people can take advantage of right now. And now that we're back sort of like normally, like on track, people are. So thank you.
No worries. And, you know, and just to close this, you know, one of the things that I have to say, grassroots marketing, just to give you an illustration, it's kind of like hanging out with your friends in person versus hanging out with them virtually. There's something about being in person that makes it more unique. And it helps you so many levels. You relieve stress, you're talking to them. Well, grassroots marketing is very similar. When the person gets to know you, see you, you build a trust, you know, because they have a pace. So it's easy for them. So you are the main, a marketer. And the other thing too, what I tell when I go and talk to companies is that your employees are the first grassroots marketer. When people come and get your services, if they provide great services, they're going to recommend your business because of the service that they did. So grassroots marketing really starts with your staff and your employees, and you have to teach them to know the product, to be proud of what you're selling, and that good service is, it's the first line of grassroots marketing when people are, you know, provided with great services. So definitely there is, it is something that it works and it leaves a bigger impact on your product than doing it virtually. It's just, you don't have any tangible. We're human beings, and there's something about experiencing and seeing it in person and visualizing the product versus seeing it virtually. It's not the same experience.
That's really well. That man, this is. I think that eventually, if people like this, there could be a part two where we go even deeper into even specific events, or like you were saying, just mini events are mm-hmm. one thing, in big events and fairs, and how do you stand out from the competition at these places, and you know, attitudes of people that are working in these grassroots, that they represent your company. So obviously you want people that are they represent your company well. So thank you so much, Dio. So hopefully people contact you. They are good advice from you. And if they wanted to make that commitment, it's a commitment. And like you said, it doesn't have to be a lot of money, but it has to be long-term commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. And long-term, and also knowing the cycles of your business, you know, very important. If you're in the health industry or serving children, you know that when they're out of school, that's when you're going to be the most busiest. So meaning, you know when you're going to be slow and when you need to do more grassroots marketing, when you need to do less. If it's the food industry, you know that every major party or celebration, people are going to come to your store and consume products. So that's when you need to do actually the less marketing, when you don't have a lot of clients. So that's what grassroots marketing also works. It's knowing when are your peak and when are your lows in the marketing, and when you need to hit the market and the payment more to promote your businesses. So in the peaks and the cycles for each business or program or nonprofit is going to be different, because it's going to depend on what services or products that you offer. And that's going to determine the cycle and when are your busy season and when is your slow season.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dio. And everybody, also, you can follow us, Spreadability, everywhere on the social media. And this is a Spreadability podcast from Spread. And we'll talk to you soon. All right. Talk to you soon. All right.